Well, MLive's Angela Whitrock joins me for our first segment of Current State this morning. Back in 1967, Lansing's Joel Ferguson became the first African-American to serve on the Lansing City Council at the age of 28. He went on to become the first black to serve on the Ingham County Board of Commissioners as well. Thereafter, his career trajectory soared as, over many years, he became one of Lansing's most influential people in business, politics, and community service. He's the founder and president of Ferguson Development. He's active in Democratic Party politics statewide and nationally, and he also serves as president of the Michigan State University Board of Trustees. In 2007, Joel Ferguson received the NAACP's Freedom and Justice Award. A pleasure to welcome Joel Ferguson
Thank
to Current State. Nice of you to join us. Let's start with local development right now. Where do all of the various parties stand with regard to the Red Cedar Gateway project?
The project's moving forward. There's going to be some announcements coming soon. I feel the announcements should come from the mayor, and so I'm going to be candid, but I'm not going to be that open. I feel that we have a number of things happening, and it's going to be really positive what's going on here in Lansing, and it'll be happening. The announcement will be coming soon.
So we're told that your proposal hasn't been officially selected, but for all intents and purposes, it has been officially selected. That will be what we see going up.
You're going to see what's been proposed happening, and it's hopefully it'll happen all at once. And there's going to be a positive announcement in a definitive way on what's happening on the west side of the site in a very near future, and the discussions right now are just talking about how we're going to handle the drainage and the clean water, and just how we're going to handle the river, and just how the buildings will be laid out.
You think the original goal of really beautifying that transitional space between Lansing and East Lansing, will be accomplished eventually?
Well, I feel it will be, and I think it'll be a game changer for Lansing and East Lansing and for the mid-Michigan area. I think it'll be a destination place, what we're going to have on the site. But all the particulars, there'll be, an official awarding the site soon. And there'll also be a definitively exactly what's going to happen and how it's going to happen on the site. Working with Mayor Bernero and Bob Trezise, I think we'll have something really interesting for everyone to see.
There's been, the site was sort of abandoned or shuttered by the city for many years, and there's been some talk about whether it would ever be reopened to the public as a park space. Can you talk a little bit about...
Oh, that has to happen. I mean, what we do on the commercial part of the property is one thing, but there's going to be a park with total access for the citizens of mid-Michigan to use that, and hopefully it'll be something that everyone will want to be at and use. And it really helps the development also. And one thing that I've proposed, that the developers have a degree of responsibility to maintain the park. And I'm doing that in a selfish way also, because right now city's budgets are such that you're right around, that's not the first priority right now. Public safety is number one. And so I feel that we should have right in our agreements that we have to have money set aside to maintain the public access in the park for perpetuity. So I think that's very, very important, that the open space, and I think it's also important that once we're selected, all of us, that we sit and we work with the community activists to where they have some input on how that looks and how that functions for the citizens. I mean, I really feel that it's a team effort on this entire development, and we have to work together.
What would your advice be to East Lansing officials and other developers who want to make something of the old bank building in those areas in downtown Lansing?
My advice to them would be to find a way to acquire some additional properties doing what's necessary in East Lansing on a postage stamp does not ensure a real success.
There have been, I think, 7 proposals were submitted on Friday to the city of East Lansing for the city-owned land there around the old bank building. And many of the developers are talking about acquiring those tax-issued properties, the old bank building, et cetera. And one of the proposals actually came from your partner in the Red Cedar development, Chris Jerome. Are you involved in that at all, or are you aware of any of that?
Not at all. I'm using a rifle in Lansing right now. I mean, I'm 100. I'm all in to make the Red Cedar work, and that's all my energy in this area is on that. And so, no, I've never discussed it with Chris at all.
Is there a reason you were not interested or not, I guess, taken with doing development there in East Lansing?
I'm not interested right now. I'm really, it's a full-time job to move the dirt, to work with the drainage, to design the building, to work with all the moving parts on that, to have the park, everything else. And so I'm all in on this project in this area. I mean, this is what I'm doing, and I want to make this happen here. And so I've told Chris in the summer when he was talking about East Lansing, I asked him the question. I said, "Why are you interested?" I said, "You know, I'm all in for Lansing." And so I've never discussed it with him since. So what he has in, that's him.
Your development, your condo or apartment development there in Old Town, is it condos or apartments?
It's a condominiums.
Condominiums in Old Town was an important spark for that neighborhood. Is there unfulfilled potential in Old Town, or is this as good as it gets, do you think?
Old Town is thriving. We overbuilt for Old Town when we did it, and we did it on purpose. We felt that if we didn't put some really effort and spend some money there, we couldn't help turn Old Town around. So we our condos are first class there. And at the time, we were ahead of what the community was going to be. And so it's really a vibrant area. You know, that's where offices should be. People, restaurants, a new restaurant, meet across the street. People are there. I mean, it's a total great area, and it really says something for Lansing, and I'm glad that we're a part of it. That's where my office is, and I took an old warehouse. We also paid for the river trail. That river trail that we got all the wrought iron fencing and all that, that's what we did. Our monies did that.
Okay.
You mentioned you built sort of ahead of where where Old Town was at that moment, but where you thought it was going to be. A lot of times when new developments are announced in the Lansing area, there's some pushback. You know, oh, people don't want luxury condominiums. That's too much money. Do you think this sort of aspirational building of higher-end properties is important to help a town move forward?
That's a great question. Well, we just felt that if we didn't make a statement to where Old Town would be a destination place, it wasn't, you know, if we did price some people out, we only built 20 units. But when you look at the brick, the facade, everything else we did, we had to make a statement that this should be a destination place. And so I feel that you can never take back quality, that you have to have quality to make something very attractive and make people want to be there. So again, on the Red Cedar project, we're going to do something that's going to be extremely first class. We're going to have facilities where people want to be. And that's important, because then you have a domino to where everything else happens around it. But if you go on the cheap and don't do it right, then you really have a retarded what should be. It's a great question, though.
Thank you.
You certainly wouldn't quarrel with more retail in Old Town, though, would you?
I think retail should keep growing, and I'm very excited about retail here on the Red Cedar property. Make that a destination place, and it helps all the adjacent businesses also, because when people come to us on purpose, they stop by their places by accident. You know, everything feeds off of each other.
Real quick, back to the question of the park stewardship. You know, there was a pretty high-profile incident with the Detroit City Council rejecting the state's offer to take care of Belle Isle, essentially. With the budget crunches facing cities, do you think that, you know, this sort of model of developers and or outside entities being stewards for public parklands is something we're going to see a lot more of?
I don't believe it's necessary here in Lansing. I believe that we're indirectly a steward, but that property is still going to belong to the city. Mm-hmm. But I feel our role should be to assist the city, because we're in this with them, to maintain that property. We asked the citizens to, if we could have this property to develop. So we have a degree of responsibility also, you know, that they've given something to us to do a commercial development, and we have to give something back to them. And what we should give back to them would be right in our covenant, our agreement that there's going to, that property will always be maintained for the public use. And I feel that that's the responsibility that we should do. And recognizing budget times and everything else, then it allows the city to be spending their resources in another direction also.
We're talking with Ferguson Development's Joel Ferguson. Joel is also the president of the MSU Board of Trustees. There's a pretty intense discussion right now over the state leadership of the Democratic Party. Do you favor a new leader?
Yes.
Okay. Can you tell us why?
I feel that Mark's done an excellent job through the years. And it's kind of like any athletic team or anything else you have that sometimes, even though you're happy with someone, if your goal is to get to another level, and sometimes having a change to try to get to a different level, it's not demeaning the person who's there, but where we are right now is not, as a party, is not where we should be. And so, and it's not saying that it's anyone's fault, but we should give someone else a chance to try.
What are the weak spots right now with the party statewide? I mean, there have been years where they've swept state, well, where, you know, there was the big Obama win this November, but still statewide, we had Dems had a hard time picking up seats. So what's the problem?
Well, the problem is really simple. We lost in the wrong year, losing in 210 and allowed the state, the Republicans, to gerrymander the state. We received more votes in the congressional race than they did. But since they gerrymandered the districts, they ended up with more seats in Congress, and that's across the board in the House and the Senate. I mean, we lost the statewide and lost control of all three branches in the wrong year. You can't lose it the year that they're going to set the apportion and set the districts for the next 10 years. And so there's nothing wrong with I mean, most people are Democratic and voting Democratic in Michigan, but we lost the wrong time. That's why we're kind of really messed up right now.
Does the party need to open up to, I mean, is the party too beholden to the UAW?
The UAW works hard not to be the biggest dog in the room. And so that's kind of, when you tell a lie too long, it becomes the truth. The UAW wants the party to be all-inclusive. And what individuals have to start doing is attending the conventions and being more active. The UAW wants people there to do that. So that, I mean, it's not a really a fair charge on the UAW at this point.
What do you expect to happen at the party get together on the 23rd?
I think something healthy. You know, back in the old days, I was the chair of the McGovern delegates, the national convention, and we were up all night because it wasn't a scripted convention. And one way we've lost interest now is the national conventions are infomercial. That's why you're not covering anymore the media. And as far as the state conventions are concerned, we need just a real bare-knuckle fight there that gets people involved to where the thing's not scripted and not pre-decided before they get there. And that's going to get more individuals participating.
Do you support Lon Johnson for the party chair?
Yeah, I am.
You do? Okay.
Yes,
okay. What do you like about him?
He's able.
He can evolve the party in the way
I
that you
so.
Want
I
to.
I hope so, though. He's talking to me about raising money, and I said, well, as you're raising money, you better work on how we're going to spend the money. You know, sitting up there spending almost $1 million to defeat the Republican speaker and ignoring House races that were winnable is just a kind of mispriority of how you're going to run a party and how you're going to be really effective. You know, let some other body rule if the person should or should not be the speaker. But let's go ahead and be positive and make a rifle to elect strong Democrats in districts that with a little more funding they'd win. So just raising money and not having a plan how you're going to spend it, it'd be like me as a developer having a lot of money and turn around and not working with the citizens, not communicating with the mayor, not working with Bob Trezise, and just getting out there and building what I think should be as opposed to what we all think should be, is not going to be something that ensures success. And so money does not ensure success if it's not planned properly.
What can the party or, folks who are passionate about Democratic politics, what can they do to make sure that those decisions are improved? You mentioned down-ticket spending has sort of been misprioritized. How do you change that?
Well, they have to participate. And they have to recognize that while the media says that labor and everything else is running the party, they're not really. They want everyone in it because they want us to be successful. You know, winning a convention and losing an election is not success. So if we have people showing up and being part of the conventions and being part of the all the local politics, like Tip O'Neill once said, all politics is local. If we get people being a local and have their voices, you know, one reason we're in the position we are with Red Cedar today is because of the local people. You know, it's because of the environmentalists and the community activists to where they've really set a tone. I mean, this is wonderful. You know, and I think your questions have been off the chart, you know, and your involvement is great.
Thank you.
Do you regret Prop 2 back in November? Was that a mistake to pursue that so vigorously?
Boy, I would have sat there and worked hard with the governor longer.
Okay.
But, you know, one thing about him, he's honest. You know, there's things that happen in any party that you don't always agree with. But if he said, if you don't do this, I won't do that, you know, I would have trusted his word.
What's, you know, in the wake of Prop 2 and then right-to-work legislation, what's your take on how that's going to impact the Democratic Party? A lot of folks felt it was sort of attempting to cut the party off at the knees. Do you feel like it's going to impact the party that much?
It won't impact the party if people start participating aggressively. I mean, I don't think the party's a one-issue party. I think it's going to galvanize a lot of people to be more active in the party, but I think that we're more than that one issue also.
You were Hillary Clinton's Michigan campaign, one of the top people for Hillary Clinton in the state of Michigan back in 08. She's announced she's not running. Were you disappointed to hear that?
When did she say that?
Last week.
I never heard that one.
Oh, okay.
She just said that she's not announcing now.
Oh, okay.
That's all. I mean, and she'd be crazy to announce now.
Okay.
I mean, she's not going to run a four-year campaign when she can run a six-month campaign and get the nomination.
Okay.
She's going to take some time off, relax. And at the right time as things, but the earlier you announce, the bigger the target is on you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
She's going to look around and see that that she's, and if she feels right and everything else, that she's the person who could continue our leadership and give Obama his third term.
What happens now statewide with Gretchen Whitmer declining to run? Where are the Dems in terms of finding a credible challenger to Rick Snyder?
Looking hard, I guess. I mean, and that's not an easy one. I mean, but Gretchen, you know, again, all politics is local. And the first thing you do is take care of your family. And being a young woman herself, she knows the critical age for her daughters. And she puts that first right now. And you have to respect her in that. And it doesn't mean that she's not going to be around at some other time, but she's going to make certain that her family's right. And I agree with her in that.
What do you expect the use of coal at Michigan State to be in the near future? Coal and coal ash, for that matter.
Well, Michigan State is committed to the environment. And we are hoping that technology and everything else catches up to where we can continue our goal in that. I don't feel that a mandate of what percentage should be when you have someone who's committed anyway, we're going to get there.
You hear the phrase post-racial in circulation an awful lot these days. What do you think when you hear that phrase?
So you tell it to me again.
Post-racial.
What's that?
President Obama ushered in a period of a post-racial phase in America, being the first black president. Does that resonate with you at all, or?
I've never noticed that, except that because he's president, there's some people that are far hostile than they would be if someone else is president, mm-hmm. like Ted Nugent. And my God, you know, I mean, you don't wish anything bad for anyone because he's either going to die or be in jail. Well, I don't want him to die, but, you know, if they pick him up for some reason, I'm not going to raise hell.
Yeah. Joel Ferguson is the president of the Michigan State University Board of Trustees and the head of and founder and president of Ferguson Development. We've appreciated your time a lot.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.